This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business. My name is Jeff Sandhu. During the course of the MCO, the only time I was able to step out of the house was to get groceries. But even then, it was a chore. Lining up can sometimes take an hour, and even when you're in the store, chances are many of the items that you wanted aren't available or just not fresh enough. So me and my girlfriend decided to go online, and there were plenty of online options. However, we still had an issue. Some of them took more than a week before their next available delivery date, and some was just too expensive. And then we stumbled upon Poco.kl on Instagram that promised fresh goods with same-day delivery. And after a few tries, we became fans, and that's our story for today's show. This is by all means not an endorsement, but it's just my amazement on how they turned themselves around during trying times. Poco.kl is actually one third of the Brickhouse Group. You've definitely heard of them before with their beautiful event space called The Grounds, and Poco, which is a restaurant, and Daon, which is the little sister to Poco. And all of these are actually housed in Masas Avenue. So I got in touch with the co-founder and talked a little bit about how they coped during the MCO period.
So hi, I'm Christine Bong, and together with my husband, Dato' Sharon, we own and operate Brickhouse Group, which has a couple of arms under it. We started out with catering and events, and we slowly diversified into doing weddings and after that, we started opening our own cafes, and that's where we are today.
So tell me a little bit about how everything started for you.
Well, if you really want to hear the backstory, it's quite a long one, and we actually didn't start from events. We started running cafes inside universities, and that was about 2016. Yeah.
And so how did that transition then move from running a cafe into having an event space?
Well, what happened was that we realized that running cafes inside universities was not the smartest idea, taking into account all the holidays that all the universities have. And we now realize why cafes don't really go inside universities. So we kind of pivoted out of that and went into catering to support the business during the down seasons. And from there, what happened was that we realized that actually catering and events had a lot more of a demand than cafes did. So when we switched out, not only did we cover our losses during the dry seasons, we actually doubled our revenue. And it was so interesting because we then made a big call to bring back all our boys, reconsolidate, and just change the whole business model. Mm.
So you have a cafe, you've got an event space, and you do catering as well, right?
That's right.
So what were your 2020 goals? As you know, you started in 2016, and I guess, you know, 2020 is the big year for most businesses. 2020 was the big year for them. And I guess, you know, for you, you know, having these kind of three major verticals for your brand itself, starting the year, what were some of your initial 2020 ambitions?
Well, it was supposed to be an exciting year of growth and expansion. We were looking at about a 20% increase in manpower and a 50% increase in revenue. We were also building or in the midst of building a new restaurant that was supposed to be launched like next month. So I don't think that's happening right now. That's been put on hold for a bit.
So let's talk about why it's been put on hold. And I guess it's not a surprise. You know, many businesses are facing these similar kind of challenges. And 2020 was the year of expansion. But then now that's, you know, been put on hold. Talk me through the first few days of when the MCO happened. Did you sort of expected something were to change this drastically, because, you know, the COVID-19 incident started happening in China, in early January, and in February we started to hear, that Malaysia's also being affected. Were there signs of slowdown in your business?
That's actually a really interesting question, because the day before MCO was announced, I got a call from BFM as well, asking me the very same question. Are there signs of a slowdown in your particular industry? And what was interesting to note was that on that very day when I answered that question, we had no cancellations, we had no postponements. We had 6 upcoming weddings in March itself that were neither postponed nor cancelled. Pokok was still full as I was talking to whoever was speaking to me on the phone. And at that very moment, when I answered all those questions, it was really strange, but it felt like nothing was going to go wrong. But, you know, that very conversation kind of triggered something in me. And immediately, after I hung up the phone, the first thing I did was started doing research on how it was impacting businesses across the world that were shuttering down because of this whole COVID incident. And I think it gave me one day to mentally prepare myself to speak to my team.
And what sort of mindset changes you had to undertake yourself in that short space of time?
I think it was a very big, what do we do now? And across all sectors, we had to quickly activate the entire teams to take action, be it closing down, be it speaking to our clients who were waiting for us, because we run both events as well as the venue side, and both of them are different teams, and we have different clients on the same days. So it was a lot of juggling and trying to manage everybody to just get in action and get things together. Aside from the fact that we had to look into our financials, aside from the fact that we had to look into manpower, that was actually part two. So number one was just addressing all our clients. And then I think it was the second day that we actually came together and started talking about manpower rights and what we needed to do with the team to ensure sustainability and survival this time.
And talk to me about having that discussion with your team, with your employees. What was the discussion like? And what was the response like? And how much has changed since that initial discussion that you had with them?
Okay, so I think the very first week and the first to second week, we had a lot of very positive responses. Everyone was saying, we're here, we're going to pivot together with the company, because we've been known to pivot, as in, I think my team is relatively young. So everyone's always used to constant changes, which helps us to move faster, change systems and stuff. And they've always been very adaptable. But when it came to the third and fourth week, I think you could really feel the team having a little bit of a shock because they didn't expect it to last so long. Although I did mention that, hey guys, we cannot expect it to last for 2 weeks because Wuhan didn't last for 2 weeks, right? And, you see the younger ones start to worry about the safety of the career. And you see different groups of people, some of them rising to the challenge and taking on more than they used to handle. And you see some of them saying, hey, but you're not able to give me enough work, or you're giving me work that doesn't fit my previous portfolio. Why should I be doing this? So you've got really two very different outlooks. And I would say that those with a little bit more life experience have been coping better with all the constant changes versus the younger ones who are in their first job and are really not able to deal with the stress.
And as, I guess, you know, the CEO and the co-founder of the company, was there at any point of time fear crept into your system, knowing that, you know, this is probably for a long term, and, you know, you run 3 different verticals with many livelihoods to feed on and, you know, financial sustainability. At any point of time, was there, you know, did you have this fear creeping up as a leader?
I think I would have to say from the very beginning, because, you know, you're thinking about this every single night, you're staying up, and me and my husband will just be talking about it until like 3 a.m. while we're trying to solve issues, because every single week of MCO has been drastically different. What worked in the first week didn't work in the second week. What worked in the second week didn't work in the third week. Like what you mentioned, we sort of pivoted almost immediately into groceries within like 2 days. with of course a huge help from our POS provider StoreHub. And what was interesting to note was that it did really well for the first 2-3 weeks, and in our third week we started stagnating, and we had to keep pivoting and changing to do things which still attracted the crowd, like increasing SKUs, increasing things that people want to buy, and it just didn't stop.
In the first few days of the MCO, you were not operating at all, and was it all about let's pivot to reaching out to the consumers directly using your POCO services, or when did that idea came about?
We actually pivoted immediately, which means that we never had a delivery service for our cafe. Simply because, Grab and Foodpanda take such high, margins. And we didn't want to increase our pricing for our consumers. We wanted to maintain that pricing. And so we never went for delivery option because we're also quite busy as a cafe. So when MCO hit, I think immediately we reached out to them because it was a lack of choice, really. And then within the company itself, we took out some of our boys and we said, hey, we need your help. We took out our accounts team, we took out our events team, and they immediately pivoted to become delivery riders. But the business didn't exactly pick up in the first 2 days because we were, I think everyone was crouching down in fear and everyone was reeling from, oh my God, we're in MCO right now. But within like the third, fourth day, we started pivoting into groceries, not because we thought of it, not because we were smart about it, but simply because we had so much of goods ordered, and with the cafe closed or the cafe operating at bare minimum, we had to think of a way to offload all our products without things going bad.
And you're still continuing doing groceries at this point of time as well?
Yes, we are. It has been actually, interestingly, it contributes about 80% of our current revenue, which is a huge shocker because this was something that happened in the last 6 weeks to 8 weeks.
And where does the remainder 20% come from?
Well, initially, last week, it was about 10% for our F&B. There are still some orders. Even in this time, our events is still able to make some sales and some collections, which is really interesting. And moving on to this week, with us actually pivoting completely and reopening the cafe, we have been quite lucky to attract the Raya, post-Raya crowd who have been stuck in KL with nowhere to go. So we have been getting some good traction with our cafe as well.
I'm speaking to Christine Bong, the co-founder of Brick House Group, and we'll continue in just a moment. Stick around, BFM 89.9.
Business-filled minds, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and on the show with me today is Christine Bong, the co-founder of Brick House Group. And earlier on, we talked about how they started their journey, and POCO is just one of three other businesses under the Brick House Group. They are predominantly in the event space with the grounds, and POCO was the restaurant slash cafe in what is essentially inside a university. So during the MCO period, POCO pivoted very quickly into a same-day online grocery delivery platform that became a life savior in some parts for the group. Christine, and now as you know, more businesses are allowed to open and operate, talk to me about the training that you had to undertake with the new SOPs.
Well, the first thing we did, of course, was got the entire team, got the business development team to do a whole bunch of research on what the entire guidelines was. I'm personally Singaporean, so I don't read Malay, and it doesn't help that everything was in Malay. So I had a whole team translating everything for me, and together we kind of like set up the kitchen first, because I think that it's very important that hygiene starts from the kitchen. So all the guidelines and all the tapes were all over the kitchen. We planned out the sanitization process for dishwashing and how the team is dressed and how they handle the food. Next thing, then we moved into POCO itself, started removing some of the tables, applying the distance to it. And also we thought about not just when people come, not just that process of signing up, checking in, but also how do we sanitize post after someone has finished their meal and left? What do we do next? So we actually still sanitize tables. We also sanitize the chairs because that's something that we observe a lot of restaurants not doing. People touch the chairs more than they just touch tables alone. So for me, it was quite important to sanitize all the chairs as well. And even before we opened, myself and my husband took a drive around for about a week, looking at every single restaurant that was operational. We studied everything that was right and was wrong before we actually chose to implement all these measures into our own place. And then we opened. Yep.
So let's talk about things behind the consumer front. With your, I guess, your supplier side, you know, they also had difficulties of operating during the first few days of the MCO. And I guess, you know, as we go along with CMCO, you know, some of these issues are being ironed out. But on your end, how were you able to pivot so quickly to what POCO is now, which is like more of a delivery of grocery services? And also then being able to now sort of operate your F&B front as well. How was the conversation like with your suppliers and the challenges and, you know, you working with them and some of the leeways that you had to work around?
Okay. I think for suppliers, it wasn't that big a problem for our team, simply because I think majority of suppliers were deemed essential services. And so I think out of all our suppliers, 80% of them were already providing the service throughout the entire MCO period. So for us to pivot, it was quite quick. Something that's interesting to note is that I think about two years back, we actually used to run a small convenience shop inside a university. And that kind of taught us a bit about how to manage goods, how to do your stock takes. So it wasn't like we were incredibly crippled by the fact that we had changed so fast. It was the fact that my team had handled similar situations before, although with less perishable goods. But they were able to just take that little bit of experience and mine it into this current experience and just roll really quickly with it. But I think our biggest support here was the our POS system provider, StoreHub. Within 3 days, they rolled out something called BeepIt. And BeepIt, a lot of F&Bs know about it now. BeepIt maintains a 2% margin for StoreHub versus a 30% from GrabFood and stuff. And it's a system where it's integrated with your current POS system and you're able to get riders based on your customers' orders, and which is why you have mentioned that your girlfriend has been able to order groceries and pivot and get those groceries within an hour. That is what their commitment is, and that is what we have been working on together. So it was a lot of conversations, a lot of bugs that we had to deal with StoreHub, but they were very responsive and they were with us every step of the way, which helped us to deal with a lot of problems. Like on the back end, some orders don't come true, some riders cancel. But you know what? When riders cancel, my team just picks up the groceries and delivers ourselves. It was a lot of customer care that had to go into it. Sometimes vegetables just were not fresh enough to some aunties out there. And we hear them, we listen to them. We will answer every call and every query, and we will request for photos, of course. And with that, my team will actually replace every single item that they were unhappy with, whether or not it was fully to our level of satisfaction. But you have to meet the customer satisfaction. And that was extremely important to our team. So we would ride out, we would deliver the goods no matter how far they were.
Now, you know, based on your three verticals that you own, the cafe, the catering and the events part, what used to take up the bigger share of the pie before, you know, this whole pandemic happened?
The cafe and events contributed about 40% of our group's revenue in total. The remaining 20 was all our auxiliary little cafes and stuff, little businesses that we ran elsewhere. But yeah, they were our major provider to the source of income for the company.
And so now that, you know, the 40% from the event space has probably, I'm assuming it's gone down to nearly close to just a single digit, if not zero. How are you coping financially? Because most businesses like yourselves would generally say that they're basically a cash business, in the sense that predominantly everything's run on a day-to-day basis, especially for cafes and F&Bs. How are you coping with it on, like, you know, just having a runway, being able to stay afloat, being able to, I guess, you know, still pay a salary, a full salary to all your staff as well?
I guess we are not very healthy from a financial aspect. We have been digging very deep into our pockets because the team is quite large, and a lot of them belong to the events team. A lot of them belong to other cafes which are not operational during this season. And even so, all our operations had to reduce by 50%, and we had to slowly add back staff to the team just to sort of give them a salary. We couldn't commit to a full salary simply because they weren't committing to the hours, and they just couldn't come back to work. So we literally had to find work for each and every one of them to do, be it whether it's in their what they signed up for or whether it was a completely different job. So as we mentioned earlier, some of them pivoted really quickly and they adapted to it and they rose to the challenge. Some of them just couldn't take the stress of like switching from events to marketing, perhaps. Mm. Yeah.
And you know, as you mentioned, things change so quickly, almost on a week-to-week basis. How are you being able to keep yourself agile in this situation? As you know, who knows what's going to happen come, you know, July, if you know CMCO is still going to be extended, or will there be some form of a return of the MCO, or even just, you know, a lift of MCO altogether? How do you keep yourself agile with the constant change?
Firstly, we have a group of really strong HODs who are constantly, I meet them very regularly because they are the core of the business. So all the HODs are constantly well read on the situations that's going on. Every department tries to contribute with information. I encourage them to read because it really helps us to think better and think faster. On top of that, of course, every single week is different. So the events team, for example, have been trying to pivot in a different direction. We are still doing weddings because that's what we know best in that aspect. But we've also reached out to corporates to do lunch services, like catering on a daily basis, which is something we've never done. And we're also looking at micro weddings. So I'm not sure whether you've been hearing this being bounced around quite a fair bit. There's something called micro weddings in the market right now. It basically means weddings below 50 pax. And we are trying to apply the same logic of social distancing. And if cafes can operate at 20 pax, what's to say that it cannot also be related to weddings as well? So we're trying to see if the model works, and we have been operating it out within the events team. And the most interesting thing is we are also launching virtual weddings. We have created a platform for it. Every single wedding client who comes in during the season will be able to use our platform. We will actually be able to design a whole website for them. We have actually scouted the market, and out there, websites cost between 5 to 20 grand just to design something for you. But we're able to do that as part of the package. So yeah,
that's just, you know, super interesting, and I guess, you know, from a consumer standpoint of view, that's fantastic that, you know, you're adapting to the different needs and the different changes. But on a business side, like, you know, you're obviously also putting investments into creating these new I guess, you know, solutions or verticals to cope during this point of time. How much of a business sense does it make to you? Because, you know, in the long term, do you foresee this continuing, the investments that you've made in things like, you know, virtual wedding and so on and so forth?
What's interesting to note is that, like I mentioned, we have a really strong team that supports us. A lot of this equipment that we're talking about are on loan from some of our own members within the team. And because the team is so versatile, we've got so many people from different backgrounds, different niches. So even like the website is developed in-house. Everything that we're doing, the designing, the building, everything is within the company itself. So that has helped us to save quite a lot of cost. And I think that will probably be the biggest game changer moving forward. With this kind of people on board in your team, it's almost impossible to fail.
Christine, just one last question. In the sense, like, you know, many are taking this pandemic as a lesson to relearn some of the, I guess, you know, things that they probably missed out, or it's an opportunity for businesses to evaluate their motives or the core business mission itself. On your personal front, how much do you think, or like, what has been the biggest learning for you during this pandemic? And, you know, because it, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a light at the end of the tunnel just yet.
I would say that probably the biggest takeaway would be the fact that nothing is ever set in stone. We have to be able to just constantly change and move with the times, whatever those times may be, good or bad. If we're gonna stick to our guns and say these are the only things that we do, we are gonna be lost in this whole cycle. And I think that the other thing would be to not overstress and overanalyze every single night, because the first 2-3 weeks of MCO was very, very stressful. And I think it kind of emotionally was very, very draining as well. So when I started to think about it differently and I started to compartmentalize my thoughts and just sort of said, you know what? We do what we can do as best as we can do. We just constantly keep above board. And then at a certain time in the day, just stop thinking. So normally around 8 o'clock, I stop thinking now. So from eight onwards, it's sort of like your time, you know, to relax, unwind. And because if you don't do that, you are unable to bounce back the next day. So I think a lot of business owners take that stress upon themselves, and we are unable to rewind or unwind at the end of the day. And I think that's extremely important, just to take some time, unwind, because you need to come back stronger the next day.
Christine, I'm really excited to see how Brick House progress as we go along, and some, I guess, you know, some of the things that we are uncertain of, and to see how you adapt to that changes, because you've been excelling pretty well in pivoting very quickly to the demands, and excited to see how virtual wedding happens as well.
Thank you so much, Jeff. We are excited too.
And that was Christine Bong, the co-founder of Brick House Group. And as of the 8th of June, Poco had actually reopened their doors again for dine-in customers. So you can check out their Instagram page, that is poco.kl, or just do a quick search on the Brick House Group. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and if you missed any parts of this show, you know the gist. You can download the podcast, available on the BFM website or the BFM app. You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.